And you are listening to Fanboy Versus, a special edition here, JD with you, joined by Troy Hickman. Troy was the, you were a 2005 Eisner nominee for your work on Common Grounds. That also included Dan Jurgens. 2008, you won the pilot season for Twilight Guardian, which we'll be talking about today. And but welcome. Welcome to the show.
Hey, it's great to be here.
Thanks for joining us. So I want to kind of go back and get some background. You know, for our listeners who may not be familiar with your work. I know you've been doing independent comics originally, correct? I mean, how did you get into comics? What's kind of your origin story, if you will?
Well, I was bitten by a radioactive nerd, as it turns out. actually, and you'll excuse me here. I woke up this morning with a little bit of a sore throat. I was hoping to sound like James Earl Jones when I got on here, but no such luck. You know, I've been reading comics, oh, golly, forever, pretty much. I can remember when Wolverine was only in one comic, if you can believe that.
Whoa.
Yeah, back in the Jurassic period. But I've been reading comics my entire life, and it's what I've always been interested in. And must have been probably about, I want to say 1991 or so, I started doing my own mini comics, just photocopying and stapling them myself and taking them to conventions and doing mail order and that kind of thing. And it was partially because I was kind of dissatisfied with the way the comics were going. I mean, I had been reading comics for a lot of years by that time, and probably in the mid to late 80s, I started kind of getting dissatisfied with them. And so I think I was trying to do the kind of comics that I wanted to read. And so I started up my own little small press company and just did mini comics. And that's how I got into it originally. And I did that for probably about 91 to close to 2000, I would say. And that's sort of how I got into professional comics eventually, because people were taking notice of the mini comics. And, my series Holy Crawlers that I did as a mini comic became Common Grounds for Top Cow, just as Twilight Guardian, which I'm doing now, started out as one of my mini comics in 93, I guess it would have been. So pretty much everything that I've done has come out of that time period, and I've done other things since then, but I'd say the greater part of my, if you want to call it a success, coming from that stuff. So
so tell me about Common Grounds. I feel bad, I haven't been able to get my hands on it yet, but it sounds really interesting. Tell us a little bit about the concept behind it. What is it? What was the story like?
Well, it's a pretty basic concept. I mean, it's just Common Grounds, and before it, Holy Crawlers, which is what the series was originally. It's a chain of like coffee and donut shops, and the patrons are mainly superheroes and supervillains. And it's set up in such a way that it's kind of a demilitarized zone, so there's no fighting in there. So the comic, basically, what it ends up being is, well, what it ends up being is a lot of people in capes and tights talking to each other. And sort of the impetus for that is when I was, when I was growing up and I would read things like the Justice League, Justice Society team-ups. And there would always be that page where the groups of heroes would kind of be just shaking hands and talking to each other. And most of the time you didn't get to really see what they were saying to each other, but I was always kind of fascinated by what that might be. And there was also, for me, a fairly a turning point. There was an issue of Marvel 2-in-1, I believe it was, where the Thing and the Sandman sit there and have a talk at the bar. And that was the comic, I think, that sort of started to turn Sandman around and had him, you know, become a hero eventually. But I just thought it was a great comic. And I thought, wow, you know, the fact that you can do this. And somewhere in there, I started reading American Splendor. And I'm a huge fan of Harvey Pekar's work. And so I started realizing, you know, even with kind of the superhero sensibility that I had and that I still have, I love superhero comics, but I realized that you could bring other things to them. And so when I started doing Holy Crawlers as a mini comic, I wanted to see if I could kind of take everything that's normally done in a superhero comic and kind of do a 180 on it. And as it happens, it worked out. It shouldn't have, but it worked out. So you've got a lot of things in there that are just against the conventions of superheroes. So there's very little action, almost none, really. It's just people talking to each other. And I have to try to find a way to make that interesting within that context. And for me, that's a big deal, because when I go into writing a comic, I try to make it a challenge for myself. That's kind of the fun part of it. So that was sort of the challenge there. And to some extent, the same challenge with Twilight Guardian, too. So.
Yeah, I mean, it does seem that, you know, and like I said, I want to get into Twilight Guardian in a little bit, but it does sort of seem like this, like you have an interest in the sort of deconstructed hero, in the sense that it's, the story is not so much about the pow or blam of it, if you will, the sort of the fighting aspect of it, but more of like the moments between what you would normally see within a comic, I guess. What you normally see as far as like action, the action moments. This is more of what you're saying is more of the things that happen between those things.
Yeah, basically. I mean, I'm not sure, and I've heard the word, you know, deconstructed used before. I'm not sure if that's exactly what it is. It's sort of the difference for me. You know, one of the things that kind of pushed me away from comics is the fact that a lot of writers were, and still are to some extent, taking characters that I grew up loving and really changing those characters, and sometimes I think for all the wrong reasons. And I've always respected those guys that are able to take a character and really do new and interesting things with them without, you know, necessarily changing anything that we already know about the character, the continuity, what have you. So say the difference between, let's say, what Alan Moore did with Swamp Thing. I mean, he did not necessarily change the character. What he did is added to the character, and we learned all these things that we simply hadn't known before. So I think Common Grounds is more, it's filling in those gaps between the stories. Or as you were saying, it's those, that what we might consider the downtime, but it's really not. I mean, if you look at superhero comics, a lot of the time, and I don't even think we necessarily realize this, but a lot of the time what we're really responding to is the characterization. It's not the energy blast, and it's not people being knocked through walls. And that's cool, don't get me wrong, but it's the other stuff. And so I guess, you know, for me, Common Grounds is kind of just that other stuff. It's sort of like, you know, when you take Captain Crunch with Crunch Berries, and then you just make a cereal simply out of Crunch Berries, which is kind of disgusting, but Common Grounds isn't disgusting to me.
Gotcha. All right. So some other work that you've done, I know that you worked on some comics as far as like for City of Heroes. What was your connection to City of Heroes ahead of time? I mean, did you play City of Heroes, or what was the connection there?
Yeah, I'd played City of Heroes for a while, and when Top Cow started doing the comic version, the first arc was done by Mark Wade, and you know, when I saw that they were coming out with these, I got a hold of my editor at Top Cow, and I said, you know, I really want a chance to do this. And the way that it was set up, they were going to, you know, be giving each writer like a three-issue arc. So I got the second arc. I got 4 through 6, and it was a lot of fun to do. And as it happens, it turned out being a really popular storyline. They eventually incorporated it into the game, and they had me script that part of the game, so that was cool. And since then, I've done other City of Heroes stuff. I've done like a guest author mission and just things like that. So that's been really cool. And I've had a lot of support from the City of Heroes message boards and everything. So it's really been a positive thing for me.
I mean, do you still play? Are you still, I mean, is it you're saying you're still part of that community then?
Yeah, I I play a lot, actually. Probably more so than I should, because I could probably be getting other things done.
Yeah, I understand that.
And it's, you know, and I play a lot now, especially because I've got, you know, a account subscription. So,
oh, well, that certainly helps. Yeah.
That's going to keep me around, yeah.
Had you played other MMOs before, or did you get into it specifically because of the comic book angle?
No, actually, you know, I've never been much of a video game guy. I mean, you know, when I was younger, and then still today, I mean, I enjoy video games, mainly something, you know, where I get to shoot zombies. That would be my main deal. But I never really played anything before that as far as, you know, the online stuff. I didn't play World of Warcraft or anything. excuse me. It's mainly because I'm more interested in superheroes, you know, as a genre. So, you know, wherever that leads me, I'm interested in that kind of thing. But, no, I'd never really played much before that. I mean, I'd done, you know, like pen and paper role-playing stuff. I had,
yes.
a lot of it.
Yeah.
But I had a Champions campaign that ran, oh, golly, a good 15 years. And a lot of the characters from that ended up being characters in Common Grounds, as a matter of fact. So I could write all that stuff off my taxes if I wanted to. So.
Hey, I mean, whatever you can get, right? well, I kind of, you know, obviously, like I said, the big thing that you have going on right now is Twilight Guardian, so I do want to talk about that. Tell us about the origin as far as the creation of Twilight Guardian. Where did that sort of come from?
Well, in, like I said, probably about 1993, I was doing a mini comic called Tales of the Pathetic Club, and it was about people with OCD, which is something I've got a pretty fair knowledge of. And it was about this doctor, and he studies these people. And one of the cases he studied was this woman who called herself the Twilight Guardian. And she would, you know, put on a hoodie and a mask and go out at night and patrol this little 9-block area around her neighborhood. And, you know, since she lived in a really pretty standard suburban sort of neighborhood, there's not really anything happening. So she fancies herself a superhero, but it's completely in the real world. I mean, more so in, you know, usually when we hear comics talking about there being in the real world, they're not really. So I tried to make it as realistic as I could. So anyway, she appeared in that, and then folks seemed to like her, so I did a one-shot probably about 94 or 95. And then basically she sat on the shelf until 2008, which is when Top Cow contacted me about turning it into one of the pilot season contestants.
And what, so as far as like more specifically your inspiration for her, it just came out of a basic idea, or as far as what you did with it in the pilot season, where did your concept for that, as far as fleshing that out into into a larger series, essentially, into a larger idea more than a one shot?
Well, I mean, the concept for the character originally came from the fact, with a lot of my stuff, there's a lot of autobiography to it. I mean, even in the superhero stories in Common Grounds, where you actually do have people with superpowers and the like, there's a lot of autobiography in there if you read between the lines. With Twilight Guardian, I mean, I have a tendency to walk around late at night. You know, I'll take 2 or 3 hour, you know, walks in the, you know, 3 in the morning. And it's a different world out there. And I wanted to bring kind of that sensibility to this comic. now, when Top Cow contacted me about doing this, obviously there wasn't very much material to work with. So basically what I did was take the couple of appearances that Twilight Guardian had as mini comics, and I kind of cobbled those together. I added a little bit of new material, and one of the nice things about it is, because I did need to flesh it out some, and I needed more pages, it forced me to come up with, you know, and new ideas for it, which is where the little kind of comic insert pages came from, where you see, you know, older comics that she's reading. So, which was nice because that worked out well because it allowed me to do a lot of things. I mean, it allowed me to play around with the kind of comics that I really loved, but it also allowed me to work in, you know, kind of subtext as what was going on in her life, and it's kind of mirrored in some of the comics. So it really worked out well.
One of the things that I really enjoy about it and having read it is that it is a POV angle. How does it differ to write maybe something that's more third person as opposed to writing something like this, which is very intense as far as being that first person?
It's very different. I mean, there's always a sense in writing anything that, you know, you have to have a certain amount of kind of acting going on because you have to put yourself in the character's place. That's especially true here because everything that we get is through her own words and through her, as you said, through her own point of view. So I have to really kind of get into the character. excuse me. I don't want to become one of these people who talks about the process, you know, and all that kind of thing, like I'm in Hollywood or something. But there is an amount of that. There's a certain getting into her head, and I try to do that as much as I can. And in fact, I've got a Facebook page set up for Twilight Guardian now, and the entire thing is done from her point of view. It's as if she has set up her own Facebook page. If you go there, you can ask her questions. And so it becomes this little challenge for me that I have to, within the context of that, be able to answer all of the fans' questions, but as Twilight Guardian, who is totally oblivious to the fact that there's a comic book about her. Mm-hmm. So it becomes kind of a fun thing to do. But, it's a different kind of thing. I mean, when I did Common Grounds, it's basically nothing but dialogue. So this is sort of the counter of that. You've got basically no dialogue, and it's everything is seen through her eyes. But that's important because with the series especially, part of what it's about is this, well, there's a lot of stuff going on, but I want the reader to be constantly doubting what they know about Twilight Guardian. So it becomes important that it's through her eyes because, you know, we don't know how stable she is, and we don't know exactly what we can believe. A lot of the time we're getting stuff like third hand, so maybe her mother has said something to her, and then we hear Twilight Guardian's version of what her mother said. So we don't know exactly what's true and what's not. And that's one of the benefits of doing it in this style.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that I wanted to talk about and comment on, because I think this is one of those deals where I think that comics can be interesting, and I think that you've done a really interesting thing with this series, having read the first and two second issues now, that you have the juxtaposition between what you as the reader are seeing, which is sort of what I would say is probably closer to reality, and then what she's commenting on and the difference between that. Because I think what you're hitting on in some ways, very similar to, I've compared it on the show when I've talked about it to Black Swan, in the sense that it seems like you're exploring someone that may have a certain level of a mental illness, but it's from the perspective of the sufferer, which is something that doesn't happen very often.
Well, yeah, and, you know, one of the themes in Twilight Guardian is, sanity and what is sanity and what's insanity. And it's, you know, it's not always such a close call. If somebody thinks they're Napoleon, then probably we consider them insane, unless they happen to be Napoleon. But in the case of Twilight Guardian, we don't necessarily know. I mean, she's one of these folks who is, theoretically, she's functional. She does all of the things that normal people would do. She has a job. You know, she has at least somewhat of a family. We know that she's had, in the recent past, a relationship. So these are the things that we would normally look at somebody and say, well, you know, they seem to be functional. But the question becomes, you know, would we consider her maybe mentally ill? And if we do, you know, where do we draw that line? What do we consider mentally ill? How far off the beaten path does she have to be? And, you know, so that becomes one of the things that, that people are asking themselves. And it's an interesting question to ask in comics, of course, because, you know, if J.D., you've been to conventions, I'm sure. You end up asking yourself, how many of these people are sane? Mm-hmm. And they're totally functional people. But, I mean, I know I have people come up to my tables, you know, when I'm in a convention. And some of them, you know, if you met them on the street, you start to, you know, what's going on here exactly? So, you know, and that's part of the thing, too. And, of course, the series is also about comic books and, you know, all that that entails. But yeah, it's the whole mental illness thing comes into that. And as I said, it partially came out of the fact that she came from the Tales of the Pathetic Club comic, which is about people with OCD. And, you know, I've suffered through OCD, and, you know, you end up asking yourself, well, you know, am I sane or not? And I'm not sure there's a clear-cut answer to that, given what, you know, whatever society may, you know, use as a litmus test on that particular day. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think maybe, you know, that's my kind of connection to it as well. I mean, because I've suffered with certain and struggled with certain mental illness as well. And it is sort of interesting to see something that is written from that first-person perspective, because for people that aren't suffering, it's hard for them to understand the psychology that goes into that. And I think it's refreshing to see a comic that's attempting to explore that, but while being a very good, I mean, and that's why I say I don't want to say that that's the only thing here, because there's other really interesting things that's going on with this character even outside of that, in particular in the issue that came out this past week. You know, it was sort of interesting because, you know, your first issue and the others is very much this character on her own. And then suddenly in the second issue, you throw her into this sort of superhero team. And it was interesting to see the character sort of try to fit into that, I guess. What was your inspiration or idea? Was it more to move that into, like, something that you had done with Common Grounds? Or what was the idea behind that?
Well, there were a couple of things going on there. I mean, one is the fact that when the pilot season issue of Twilight Guardian came out, there were lots of folks who read it and really loved it, but then they would kind of add the caveat to it, well, it's great, but I don't know if this could, you know, could sustain a whole series, just her walking around the neighborhood. Now, I knew going into this, and I did not in any way, shape, or form think that I would end up winning pilot season. But in the back of my head, I said, you know, if on the off chance that that did happen, I would have to really do one of the things that I'm not comfortable with, which is plot. I mean, if you read my stuff, it's incredibly character and dialogue driven. I am not, you know, that much of a plot guy, which maybe this is the wrong medium for me to be in, because comics have so much plot in them, sometimes too much plot in them. But I knew going into the series that I couldn't, you know, she could not just keep just walking around and making observations on what was going on. And that's not all that happens in the pilot season issue. But, you know, I knew people were perceiving it that way. Well, this is a really cool character study, but can it sustain something more than a single issue? So, you know, going into that, I knew I was going to have to add different elements to it. And one of the things that I knew I wanted to do was to maybe have an issue where she becomes a fish out of water. I mean, she's spent a long time now every night patrolling her neighborhood, and, you know, and it's because of the OCD. So I give her a good enough reason. You know, I have this meeting of other quote-unquote superheroes, and so I give her a sufficient reason to kind of come out of that comfort zone. And it's an interesting thing to watch it, you know, watch it happen, because she's a very different character in a lot of ways in the second issue than she is in the first. Now, as far as why that specifically, well, when I first started doing Twilight Guardian, as I said, it was 1993. At that time, we really didn't have, excuse me, we didn't have too much in terms of what we call now the real-life superhero community. Mm-hmm. A little bit of that, but not really. I mean, it was certainly not a phenomenon at that point. Now, in the interim, especially in the last couple of years, that's really started to catch on. And so what I thought is, you know, here's Twilight Guardian, who's really kind of a, you know, precursor to this. So, you know, what if I have her meet other folks who are doing basically what she is? And as time has gone on over the last few years, I've become really close with a lot of real-life superhero people. And in fact, they were really supportive of the pilot season issue of Twilight Guardian. I'm sure they probably were a great help in winning the vote for it. But I've gotten to know a lot of these folks, and they're a fascinating group of people and really a great bunch of folks. I mean, most of them are really doing this for the right reasons. So I thought, okay, well, let's put Twilight Guardian in the midst of this. And I thought it would be especially cool to have the whole thing happen at a comic convention, because there's all sorts of other things I can bring into it. And it also allows them to operate as a group in costume without a lot of people wondering, hey, why are these people in costume? So,
yeah, I thought that was a particularly interesting and creative way to make that sort of fit in. I don't want to give away too much, because I do want people to read this comic. Like I said, you know, it's still available, I would assume. hopefully it'd be sold out, but I know that...
The last I heard, Diamond is out of it, and I'm hoping something will happen there. I talked to the folks at Top Cow, and they have some, and I think you can still get it to some extent through the Top Cow store on their website, but... yeah, at the moment, I think issue number one is fairly scarce out there. There is, and I usually don't talk in these terms, but there probably, I'm guessing, will be a trade paperback at some point. I usually don't like to talk about that, because I don't like to see the sales of the individual issue drop off because of it. But
yeah, and that is one of those things that's sort of like a double-edged sword, in the sense that it does... There are, and we talk about it on the show a lot too, because there's those of us that just can't get everything as they're coming out, and so it's sort of become the cliche term that we'll get the trade when it comes out. But yeah, definitely, I think, you know, I'm interested in reading this as it goes along. I know that, like I said, this is slated for 4 issues. Is there a possibility that we're going to see it go beyond that, or turn into a regular series, or do you feel like you're going to be able to say everything that you want to within these 4 issues?
Well, I'd certainly like to see it become a regular series. I think that I could sustain it. That's not a problem. I've already got a lot of plot ideas in my head. That'll largely depend on the sales, obviously.
Right.
I have no problem with that, or even if we did it as, you know, a series of, you know, mini-series or... the occasional graphic novel or whatever, that would be cool. I would really like to actually work on something that's ongoing. I mean, everything that I've done so far, I mean, Common Grounds was a 6-issue series. You know, City of Heroes, I did the 3-issue arc. I did a couple of issues of Witchblade. I've done various, like, little one-shot kind of stuff. And then, you know, the pilot season issue, and this is a 4-issue series. I'd really like to be able to work on something ongoing.
Well, and hopefully this, you know, hopefully, like, this will get, like I said, some more notice and recognition, because, like I said, for myself, this has been a fascinating read, and I just happened upon it by chance.
It's the kind of book, and you guys, I think, may have pointed this out on the show, it's probably not a comic that's for everybody. I know this going into it. It might be one of the reasons why it's a nice thing that Top Cow is publishing it, because they, you know, they've talked before about the fact that they really kind of consider themselves these days more of a boutique publisher. And, you know, that it might be a good thing that this particular book is, you know, that they're publishing it. It's the kind of thing, and I've used this analogy before. Some people have compared Twilight Guardian in a strange way to Rorschach from Watchmen, simply in the fact that because she's journaling this stuff. Now, obviously, their journals are a lot different, but they made that comparison. And what I think is interesting about that is that in some ways, Twilight Guardian as a book kind of serves as a Rorschach test. You know, there are certain comic readers that are probably not going to like this book, and that's perfectly valid too, you know. But there's probably some sort of a niche audience that I'm shooting for here, and hopefully I can find that audience with it. It's not easy, though, because it's largely a matter of getting the word out there, you know. And I appreciate what you guys have done with that. That's very cool.
Yeah, we kind of see our, you know, and that's why I wanted to talk to you about it and have you on the show, is because what we try to do is try to champion things that need championed. And that sometimes that's even things that were within, you know, more mainstream like Marvel or DC. But I think, you know, things like this, the Twilight Guardian series, I think it encapsulates some of the things that can be great about comics, in that you can tell a great story, and it makes for a good comic in the sense, because, you know, obviously you can see the collaboration with the artist as well, because without those particular shots, without those particular visual elements, I don't think get the same sense of being able to question, you know, is she perceiving things to be the way that they are, and how do those two things intertwine, especially when you have the conflict between what she's saying and what you're seeing. So, and that's why I think this is a great story to tell within the confines of a comic, and I'm really, really excited to get to issue 3 and 4 and see kind of where it goes, and hopefully pick up from there. What's on the horizon for you? Do you have anything upcoming, or?
That's a good question. Well, you know, yeah, I want to get some more stuff out there. I'm working on various pitches and the like. Yeah, that's part of the reason I haven't had more stuff coming out in the last few years since I've been doing this, you know, professionally. I'm not a real networker, and I've never really pitched anything to a comic company. I mean, I've had all, you know, this stuff come out, but, you know, I've been fortunate enough that they've approached me, you know, for all of these things. So I haven't really gone, you know, out of my way. I guess the closest thing would have been City of Heroes, where I said, hey, let me do this, and they did. I've probably got to master that more, actually getting in editors' faces and saying, hey, you know, here's an idea. But as I said, I mean, eventually I would like to be able to do this full-time. I mean, I work most of the time now, you know, teaching at a college here in town, and at some point, I would like to be able to kind of make that jump where I'm just doing comics full time. It certainly pays a lot better than teaching at a college, I'll tell you that. You know, and I like teaching. Don't get me wrong; it's fine. But I'm no Sidney Poitier here. I mean,
yeah. Well, yeah, absolutely. So how can people get a touch of you? I mean, I know that you said that there's the Twilight Guardian Facebook page. Are you on, do you have your own page on Facebook, Twitter?
Yeah, I've got my own, page on Facebook. You can get to Twilight Guardians page if you just, type in, I think it's called the Twilight Guardian Internet File. Mm-hmm. Type that and you'll get there. If you look at, issue 2 of, Twilight Guardian there, the, text piece in the back, my email is on there too. I have no problem with people emailing me. So, and I am ever present on the internet. I have actually become, I don't know if you call it famous or infamous, but, generally if you say my name on the internet, I have a tendency to turn up. So it's kind of like Candyman.
Do you have a Twitter or anything like that?
No, I'm still fairly a Luddite when it comes to technology. The computer for me is just kind of a magic box. So I haven't really mastered Twitter and all that. I don't even have a cell phone, to tell you the truth. I'm easy enough to reach. But okay. I probably ought to set up some sort of a Twitter account or something.
Yeah, I mean, just because it's so great for... for that kind of stuff, because, you know, for us, if you have news to push out, that's easy. We can just push that straight back out to our listeners as well. But you know, it's new. It's cool. You know, thank you so much. I mean, really excited about Twilight Guardian. Like I said, issue 2 It just came out last week, looking forward to issue 3 and 4. But again, Troy, thank you so much for joining us on the show, and we'll look forward to hopefully seeing you in more stuff in the future.
Oh, well, thanks for having me. I really appreciate it, and it's been fun being here.
This has been Fanboy Versus with your hosts, J.D. Church, Chris McFeely, and Chris Triplett. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Like the podcast? Leave us feedback on iTunes. Copyright 2010, Radio Free Cybertron.